age of about 25, we don't. So I think it's going to say junior high, but well, it's going to rotate. That's all right. Hey, glad you guys are here. Let me do this. Let's take a second and pray, and then I'll give you quickly our agenda for the morning. As we'll go till right about noon, but we will not we won't be programmed any past that. So you'll be able to get out of here at noon, and then so you'll be able to go get kids and whatever you need to do. Especially if you have younger children, you'll be able to do that. But we will be around, and our staff will be around. So if you have any questions or anything. We're going to go through this morning. We want to share our hearts with you a little bit about what we're trying to accomplish in our student ministry. This is 7th through 12th grade, what we're trying to accomplish. And then we're going to try and take what we sort of feel is an unbelievably complicated ministry, programming-wise, and try and show you this is why we do what we do, and then this is what we do. And we'll walk through and we'll show you, we'll just show you our different programs and things like that. So that's where we're headed. Do you know how to get it? All right, let's do this. Hey, Russ, do me a favor. Will you open us? Will you?
Oh, love to.
You
do that. So they're not distracted.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you that we can be reminded of your grace and your mercy on a hard day like today. Your presence in our lives. And we just stop to thank you. We would make you real. Permeate our hearts and our minds. Father, you're so much bigger than we can imagine. Help us to surrender. Help us to move. Allow your Holy Spirit to work in every part of us. Help us to release everything that we try to unlock. Lord, we thank you for this ministry that our church provides, how they care for our kids, how they love on and give them a place to grow. Lord, help us to realize that that's our responsibility. They're just walking alongside us. Lord, I pray you bless all the staff here, that you keep them under your protection, that they would flee from evil, Lord, that you would reign supreme in their lives, and that other people would walk alongside their kids and love them like they love ours. Open our ears and our hearts this morning to hear all the things you want us to hear, and more importantly, Lord, help us to be obedient, to follow you. Do whatever you ask.
Well, I've got to meet most of you. My name's Jim. I'm the junior high minister. I've been here for a bunch of years, and you'll get to meet or see again probably most of you. You'll get to see Andrew Hurd, our high school minister, here in a few minutes. Aaron Edwards will be down here, and so you're probably wondering who is with my children. They're fine. They're just we gave them some puppies and they're playing. I'm sure they're good. No, we've got our intern staff is all over there with them. In fact, Aaron's over there to kind of get that all kicked off and get going, and then our interns are going to be with them the whole time. And we have a bunch of lay leaders, volunteers that'll be over there with them, and so they'll be supervised just in case anybody really is new and just kind of wondering like. Surely they've thought of this. Yes, we have. There's adults over there with them. They have grown-ups. So, I'm real glad you guys are here here this morning. And I alluded to this earlier, but what we're going to do is we're going to give you kind of our heart for the ministry, what we're trying to accomplish, and then we're going to show you how we're going to get there. And I'll tell you the danger of what happens a lot of times is in student ministry, I think probably more, maybe children's is about the same. But student, I just feel like with the conferences that I get to go at, that I get to go be a part of, and talking to other people in student ministry and working with tons of parents. It's been about 15 years now, including my time. I worked at Sky Ranch for several years, and so just interacting with parents and teenagers. But one of the things that I've seen is it becomes about programs. So when we talk about a student ministry, it revolves around this program as though the program is the end goal, or as though getting a certain number of kids to this program is the end goal, or if I just get my kid to be at this thing, that's the end goal of what we're trying to accomplish. And truly, it's not. And so here's what I want to do. I want to show you what our student ministry is and what we're not. Here is our goal for the ministry. Our goal is that we want to have transformed students. We want to be an echo for you with your values at the house, with scriptural values, and to be able to say we want to help your students become maturing disciples of Jesus. And so I want to read you this. Now, we always tell our students when we're doing this, when you hear the Bible being taught, don't just hear it as some kind of, you know, it's a neat little story, but really just be there in the moment for a second. So Acts chapter 3, I will just read this over you here. It's a narrative, and it's probably a story you've heard before. The church is like a chapter old. And now Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. And have Peter and John in mind and see if this wouldn't be who they have become. Picture that as your kids someday. And it's going to be a little lengthy here, so pardon me. They were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John. The fact he directed his gaze is pretty significant, because a lot of times people would just walk by and just pitch things at him. And here's Peter and John turning, and it says, directing his gaze at him. Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The story never gets old to me. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. He reached out and touched this guy too, which you weren't supposed to do, and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And so he did what anybody would do who hadn't been able to walk. Leaping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as you can imagine, the ruling people of the day did not appreciate that very much. And so I'll skip through this next chunk. And in chapter 4, Peter and John are addressing the council here. As they were speaking to the people, they're speaking to the crowd. As they were speaking to the people, Peter and John, we're speaking to the people. The priests and the captain of the temple and Sadducees came upon them greatly annoyed. I love that. Greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They arrested them, Peter and John, and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. So they took him. It's night, and the Sanhedrin wasn't going to meet again until the morning. So they took him, and they said, "Ah, we got to put you in prison overnight." Put him in prison overnight, and the next day they're going to get him up, and they're going to pull him in front of this body, and they are going to judge them. And so Acts 4:5. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them, Peter and John, in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" You got the imagery? All these people surrounding him are saying, "By what power, by what name?" And then it says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified," ouch, "whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone." And then this is a verse we say all the time in junior high. "And there's salvation in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we might be saved." The NIV says, "Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we might be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, these are the educated people looking at the so-called uneducated people, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. That's not even the best part. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside him, they had nothing to say in opposition. In other words, they're going, "How dare you do this? There's no way you could do this." But the thing they couldn't deny was this guy was sitting there crippled for life. And then all of a sudden, he's like standing up next to them. So they're kind of like, "There's no way that really worked." Well, there's your evidence. So they kind of didn't have a case. Because he's standing there right by him, which is kind of just a slap in the face. He's like, "Hey, stand next to us while we do this. All right, buddy?" But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another. So they send Peter and John outside and they say, "What shall we do? for that a notable sign has been performed, the guy was healed, has been performed through them, is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, word spread. And we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So what they're saying is, well, let's not punish them. Let's just do this because it's spread everywhere about this great deed that they did, and it's undeniable. So let's do this. Let's just tell them, oh, we're not going to bust you this time. We're going to kind of intimidate them and just say, just don't speak anymore. Don't talk about this Jesus anymore. So they called them back. That's their plan. The guys, Peter and John, are still outside. Now they're pulling Peter and John back inside. This is the part that I think is so cool. And just picture if this was, and I'll say our kids. I've got three. They called them back in. They called Peter and John back in and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them. Listen to this. But Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of all we've seen and all we've heard. This is how it says it in the NIV. It says we can't help but speak of Jesus. We can't help but speak of all that we've seen and all that we've heard. And I bet you, for my kids, that's one of the things that I would dream for them. I mean, can you imagine? When we think about our kids a lot, we think of, I hope they don't do this, I hope they don't do this, I hope they do this, I hope they do this. And it's usually about this external moral sin. We want them to do the right things. Just picture this for a second. Just picture if you could ingrain in your kid this idea of they're at school. You're not supposed to talk about Jesus maybe at your school. And they're going, I can't help it. Instead of having to teach them, you know, your baseball team is your mission field, so you need to bring Jesus into that. They're going, yeah, I know. I can't help it. He's so important to me. It's so imperative. He's so much a part of who I am that I can't help it. I can't help but talk about him and show others him. Because think about it, parents, if we've got, you know, we want our kids to not have sex, not do drugs, you know, we kind of sometimes just pick our big sins, but obviously there's this stuff we just don't want them to do, this stuff in Scripture, it's commanded, we don't want them to do this, and so we spend all our time, a lot of times, just kind of going from the outside in and going, don't do this, don't, and what's happening is we miss the core of really the gospel, which is passion for Christ, just captivated with him and gripped by the gospel, and then what happens is flowing from that. Now, all of a sudden, you get a junior girl who's with her boyfriend, and if she doesn't know, well, now walk me through exactly how far is too far sexually with my boyfriend. Well, now, all of a sudden, she's going, I'm captivated with Christ. Your hand's going here, or we're in this setting right now, and something feels wrong about this. We shouldn't do this. We don't have to get into a big debate about alcohol. Is it right or wrong? Well, I think it's okay. Most of my friends do it. My parents seem to be cool with it. If we were just go, okay, hold on just a minute, and just help train our kids to just be captivated with Christ, where it's just, I can't help it. He's so much a part of who I am. All of a sudden, a lot of those things just start taking care of themselves. We change from the outside in. And so to describe what our heart for the ministry, I want to sum it up like this. I have about five things that we are not. All right, so five things that we're not. You don't have to write them down, but you'll just kind of get the gist of it. We are not primarily concerned with, let's just teach them a bunch of morality. Let's just teach them, do this, don't do this, don't do this, do, and give them a big list. That's not primarily what we're concerned with. What we want to do is we want to change them at the core. We want to teach them. We want to keep bringing it back to Jesus over and over and over. We want to change the way they think. We want to change the way they see the world. We want to change their passion for Christ. And then what happens is once that foundation is built, then we're able to come in and we're able to talk about these different things and it makes sense. Because otherwise, if you just go, don't do this because God doesn't want you to, and they're going, I don't really care about God, is what's going on a lot of times in their spirit. And so we talk about the external stuff, but really we want to build from the inside out to get to that. So we're not a ministry that's all about just external modification. We're not a ministry that's all about playing. If you've seen any videos that are online, you might think to the contrary, but I promise We do have a blast. You can see they, you know, we got ping pong tables and stuff. We have Xbox. We have all sorts of stuff. So one of the reasons we do that is because we would love for it to not to have to be a fight for you to help get them here. For some of you, that's a struggle. But to be able to go, we're creating great environments that are fun, where their friends are here, where they can be engaged and they can be connected, and they'll get here. And many of you know this, that you'll have your kids going, it's church time. Let's go. And we have families where kids are dragging the families here, because we do want to have a good time. We want to build into them a positive experience about church. But our end result, and I'm saying this because it makes me sick to my stomach. I know churches where it is all about, let's just get kids here, get kids here, get kids here. And there's not really I hope we teach them something. I mean, really, there are churches in our vicinity that are like that, and we do not want to be that. We want to live in the tension of going, we want to have an unbelievably fun experience for them, something they're dying to be at, and then we want to, but we also, if we're not bringing the gospel to bear on their lives, all the fun stuff is kind of a waste of money and time and energy. So we're not just all about, let's just have fun, but we'll do the stupid lock-ins, and we play games, and we have camp with Skit Night, and we have all those different things where we do just have a blast, but we're not just all about fun. Now, the other thing we're not, that I won't spend time on, is we're not your replacement. We are not trying to be their parents. We have instances where it's not a Christian home, and so, you know, a student comes, and we welcome them with open arms, and we do sort of take on a little more of that role, I guess, to some degree with those families. But the best case scenario is we have a Christian home, and parents are just pouring into them, investing in them, having conversations with them, and then they come to us, and they hear us, and they go, oh, my parents aren't crazy. Like, other people believe that besides just them. And so they get touches with us. We have an intern staff. We have lay leaders that are real active and engaged. But we're not trying to replace you as parents. You need to know that. That's primarily your deal. Also, we're not trying to be our own separate church. We do things to make sure our students know we want to be tied to this church, to this body. And then the last one, and I want to say this as carefully as I can, we are not, because I said we're not all about fun, nor are we all about just information transfer. And when I talk to parents now, as I've talked to parents for 8 or 9 years, I don't know how, 9 years, I guess, what I hear over and over is, what are you teaching? What are you teaching my kids? What's the content that you're teaching my kids? And let me just tell you, we do, I'd say, compared to the ministries that I know anyway, we teach a lot of content. You have the two ministers here, or two of the three, I should say. Aaron's not here yet, but with me and Andrew, we're people that are getting doctorates at seminary right now. So we could do the just information download and kind of bore them to tears, but, you know, we could just break down some systematic theology and stuff like that, and they would all leave going, oh, that was interesting, and leave and be the same people and not really even remember much. Because what happens is, it seems like a desire of parents is, here's my kid, here's Bible, your job is to just shove as much content into my child as humanly possible. And I'll tell you, that's not our goal. Our goal is not to just shove as much content as we possibly can. Our goal is we want to communicate it in an intelligent way, in a relevant way, where your kids can hear it and be different. Our goal is not information, it's transformation. Our goal is that your kids, as we partner with you, is that your kids would be transformed by the gospel. And so we do. We've got all sorts of environments and venues and things where we walk verse by verse through books of the Bible. I do a series on theology with our junior high students, which people think I'm crazy for doing. But it's not the content if I stand up and go, hey, we're doing systematic theology, well, of course they're going to hate that. But if you kind of brand it cool and you talk about this stuff, okay, in your phase of life, here's some things you need to know, and we give them truths, they like it, it's relevant, it's helpful, and they're getting that groundwork, that solid foundation there as well. So really, our heart and passion, you need to know this, is if you want a ministry that is going to just shove, they're going to get through the entire Bible in a year with your kid, then we're not your ministry. But we go through Sunday morning, we absolutely, unapologetically teach the scriptures. We'll go through some of our programs here in a second, but at D groups, discipleship groups, we go verse by verse. I take them on Wednesday nights. We go verse by verse through books of the Bible. So we absolutely teach the Bible. Where you might be going, had like a sermon with 4, 5, 6 points, something like that, we usually go, let me give you one or two, and these are going to stick with you. And so with junior high, we have to do crazy things to make sure, because they don't really like, hey, sit there quietly, especially boys, for 30 minutes while I talk to you. You know, it doesn't really fly real well. So we'll have them up, we'll have them doing all sorts of stuff, but we're really driving towards one or two central truths in almost every environment that we have. So our goal, what I hope you hear is our goal is transformation. Our goal is transformation. It's not just information, it's transformation. Because you know this. You know, and Andrew, why don't you come on up. You know that some of the most informed people about the Bible are some of the biggest jerks sometimes, aren't they? That people who just know the scriptures forwards and backwards, you're going, yeah, boy, he's so smart, and I hope he never, you know, tries to invest in me or my family or something like that, because you're just going, I don't want his character to rub off on my kids. Okay, maybe you don't know people like that. I'm in seminary. I know a bunch of people like that. First hour, we got some amens, but that's all right. Good. And they were kind of looking at me. That was weird. But here's the thing, is that's our goal. And so, oh my goodness. And so, you see that? That's professional. Our goal, if we want your kids to be transformed, our programs that we have are not the end result. And we want to say that real, real clearly. It's not the end result. These are tools that we use to help achieve that result. So these programs, we need to hold pretty loosely in our hands. Okay? So we'll walk through a little bit about what we do here. I'll start with Sunday morning Bible study. So on Sunday mornings, and you should, I hope you have, we have some junior high, some high school parents here as well. With junior high, we have a handout, and they have a stapled one. Andrew's making me look bad. I have like a one-sheeter. Oh, well, we don't do anything in junior high, just play. No, he's got a lot of like the details of what he's going to be walking through for you guys. Sorry, junior high parents, you're stuck with me. So Sunday morning Bible studies, we have, all right, now this is the last, actually we just started our last Bible study ever at 10:50, because you know that next week, launch Sunday, right, everything is 9:15, I better get this right, 9:15 and 10:45, 9:15 and 10:45, and so we have a Bible study that meets early hour in the loft, which for students, grades 7 through 12, and we start out kind of playing games and donuts and stuff like that together, and then we break, and Andrew takes a high school group, and then we have a junior high group, and then they split guys, girls as well in there, and we have a Bible study, and then second hour, the junior high meets over here, and the high school's over there, and if you have a junior high thing, I'm going to read right off this. It's a small group setting on Sunday morning. Lay leaders pour into students and go through the curriculum from student life. And you can go see it at studentlifebiblestudy.net. And this year's curriculum is entitled Prime, Ready to Live for God First. And it's slick. It's all online and everything. And it's a great delivery system for our leaders. But it's really, really good content. And it's got a lot of great like games and interactive ways for them to learn and some application and things like that, as opposed to, you know, here's a bunch of points you can just make from the Bible study. So then second hour, we'll meet down here. They break into groups, the junior high does, and they'll be by grade and by gender. These are always open all the time to anybody and everybody that wants to come.
Yeah, great. So Sunday morning for high school is a little bit different, and there are a few things that I want to clear up for you guys just because we changed some things in the last couple of years. And I want to make sure you understand how the process works. So today is the first Sunday that high school gets together in their small group formations. In the past, what we've done in high school is, Sunday morning is an interesting time for us in that we have a ton of visitors and a ton of people who don't know Jesus, like a lot. And so it becomes a real social point for a lot of our kids. That's kind of the primary first touch there is a social category. So in the past, what we did was we sent you out little cards, request cards, and the students filled out who they wanted to be in a class with, and then they were placed in the class. The problem with that was when you have 600 kids on the roll, junior high through high school, trying to take little cards and match them up to everybody is really, really crazy. And in the end, we'll mess up because Bobby and Johnny had a fight and no one knew about it and the cards already been turned in and now they don't want to go to Sunday school anymore because they're in the class together. So in order to try to help that situation, and the system's not perfect, but I think it does help. This week, the students are able to form their classes for this week and next week. And what that means is that they can choose a room. So each division has a certain number of rooms based on the number of students in that division. And they can go into whichever room they want, sit down with their friends, ask their friends to come in with them, and they form their little small group that way. And then what's happening right now is the teachers will then wait until everyone's seated, and then they'll pick a room and go in and teach the kids. That'll happen for 2 weeks, and then as that goes on, they can sign up for that class. Once they sign up, they're locked in. We're locking them in there. So at the end of the 2 weeks, in your parent letter, it said the following Wednesday, we're going to try to lock in classes with their student configuration. Then after locked in, I'll call each division director and teacher and say, hey, did the Spirit lead you with a certain group? Do you feel a certain connection? And I'll ask the directors who they think would be good, and then we'll assign teachers to those classes. The reason that we're doing that is because I want your students to be with their friends. Since Sunday morning is a social event for them, I don't want them to end up in a group where they don't know anyone, they're not doing life with any of those people, they can't discuss things that are going on, and so we want to try to help that as much as possible. That being said, there are some parents and students who can't be here for these 2 weeks. That's okay, that's totally all right. All you have to do is pick up the phone and give me a call or shoot me an email and say, hey, my kid would really like to be with this person and this person, or you know, my kid would really like to be with this teacher. And I can do my best to make that happen. I can't promise you I can fix it perfect every time, but just know that I want to make that a reality for you. So that's how our class configuration is set up and working right now in order to create social units that can then hear the gospel. And that's what we're trying to do on Sunday morning is connect students to community and then have him hear the gospel and engage God with questions. In your packet, at the back part of your packet, I've included the curriculum all the way through January with scripture reference and thesis point. And the reason for that is parents have just asked in the past, hey, I'd really like to know what my student's learning so I can talk with them. So this is a concise way of you knowing this is the scripture they're looking at, this is the thesis, and now if you want to have a conversation to jump off at lunch, you're able to do that. It starts with 9/11 this week, and then it's sequential after that throughout the semester. The other thing on that same thing is if you didn't get the parent letter or get the email, please give us a call or shoot us an email with your email because we primarily communicate digitally, and so we really want you to be on our email list because you'll miss out on information pertaining to Sunday morning and all the rest of this. So.
All right, so Sunday mornings, that should be easy to remember. Sunday mornings, because I really do, we feel like our ministry is complicated to get. So Sunday mornings, you see what we're doing, you see the options that you have. Always open to anybody, anytime. Wednesday night for junior high, we do extreme. Our times are the same, junior high and high school, 7:15 to 8:30. Junior high is down here, and high school is over in the loft. And we are walking through, in junior high, we're walking through Proverbs. So this week, for example, that's going to sort of be our theme, they're going to hear the recurring theme throughout the semester is, you either walk wisely or you walk like a fool. There's not really a middle way of walking. It's you have decisions. Are you going to choose wisely or are you going to choose the way of the fool? There's not really that third option. That's what I see a lot with our students is them going, well, I'm not really doing the best thing technically, but I'm not really doing the most evil piece of it as well, so I'll just kind of meander in the middle here and my parents will be off my back and my friends will still think I'm cool and they'll kind of walk that fine line in the middle there. And so what they're going to hear over and over and over. This is from me, from TJ and Natalie, and Aaron will be the ones that will be teaching. TJ and Natalie are my interns, and then Aaron's our girls minister. Didn't mean to point to you when I said Aaron. Sorry. She'll be up here in a minute. We'll put her right here. They'll get to hear from us on Wednesday night, and we do some stuff. We do a lot of games and stuff, and then it's really fun. They break into rooms at the end to talk about the application, and we haven't had an adult with them. Now we're watching them, all right? But they go and they just sit, and it's really cool. They'll sit in there and just go, okay, so we've talked about this, so, and they'll just start processing it and stuff together. And it's messy, but it's pretty cool. So we're going through Proverbs, and we're trying to say, walk wisely, don't walk the way of a fool. And then crosswalk?
Crosswalk, same time as junior high, 7:15. And in your packet, I've included the teaching schedule for the semester. So same idea, so you'll know what we'll be preaching on. I'll be teaching, and then also Aaron, and then Paul Jocelyn is an intern that's been with us off and on for about 2 years, and he'll be speaking to the students some as well. Our Wednesday night is a little different than most churches that I've gone to in that it's mostly our core kids. It's a smaller number, and it's pretty core. So we go pretty deep. So this semester we're going to be looking at the attributes of a Kingdom of God believer. So what does it look like to be a Christian? And looking at specific attributes that God compels us to pursue. So that'll be the teaching series.
All right, so Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights. That stuff should be easy enough to remember. Always open to anybody. Wednesday nights are a great, and actually they bring friends on Sunday morning as well. But great thing to just invite lost people to, especially like on Wednesdays. I'm always very, very aware, and I always use terminology like, now some of you may not know Jesus, and you may not be a Christian, and we'll incorporate that as well. So they know, hey, this is something I can really bring my friends to. All right, now here, D groups, or discipleship groups, is something we really want to hit on. And I'll speak just on behalf of Andrew and Aaron as well. If you would consider just moving heaven and earth to make sure your kids are a part of this. A part of these D groups. And here's why. Like Andrew was saying, on a Sunday morning, we can take your kids so deep, but they brought a guest. And so, you know, all of a sudden someone's going, I really kind of want to share this. I've connected with my leader. I've connected with some of the other kids in my group. And so I'd like to share this. There's two people. I think they go to my school. I'll kind of pull back a little bit, maybe not share that. Or it's, well, we can't, it's hard to really go to that next level when you're trying to say this is a gathering point where anybody is welcome. And so D groups, the cool thing about D groups is we unapologetically say, I'm assuming you're a Christian and you're wanting to go very deep in your faith and learn some real, real practical disciplines. Oh, disciplines, I'll use that with y'all. Some spiritual disciplines. You want to build those into your life. You want to build some connections with some other students. Now, in junior high, it's real hard for, you know, because one girl maybe shares something real personal with this other girl, and then, you know, the next day at school, she looked at her wrong or something, and so she's got this dirt on her, so she goes, do you believe that Sally, you know, and she just kind of lets fly. So it's hard for them to, a lot of times, to really, really have a transparent connection when they're in junior high. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get the seeds of that started, so by the time they get up to high school, they've already got some of those relationships established, and now to go to that next level is not near as big of a jump. And so I'll tell you what we do in our D groups. I thought I had my, I'll pretend I'm only a bookmark. I don't have it. We do a couple things. This semester we are going, we take them verse by verse through, we're going through James this semester. Last semester we did Philippians verse by verse. And so what was cool is we did Philippians, and then that was our preaching series, and we kind of said, hey, we're preaching on Philippians, and thought, oh, darn, like, are they going to be cool with it? They're like, oh, cool, we've been studying that, so we kind of know it. And we're like, phew, yeah, we planned that, totally. Figured it'd be better for you guys. So we go verse by verse, but here's really the thing that we're doing, and this is the sneaky behind-the-scenes thing that you guys need to know with our junior high D groups, what we're doing. Just think how you're going to sell this to your kids, I guess. We are teaching them, here's how you study the Bible on your own. We're trying to equip them where they go home and they've got a method now. When they pick up the Bible and they go, I don't even know what to do or where to begin or how to do this, they're going to know by the end of the time, they're going to know, well, this is how I do it. I have a system for doing that now. And I'll tell you what's cool is last semester it worked. They didn't even realize it. And I didn't even get to teach on this last semester, but I'm with all these other leaders and stuff. I'm just grabbing some of the kids afterwards and going, hey, you know, you feel like you know how to study the Bible? Kind of asking real informal research. And they're like, yeah, P-O-U-R. And they're like describing it to me as though I didn't know, you know? And they're going, yeah, P-O-U-R, pray, observe, understand, respond. And they're just telling me how to, like, do you not know, Jim? And the cool thing is they got it. And so all we do, we have it all strategically done. We've got these little bookmarks and stuff for them. But we've got it strategically done where when they get done, they're going to have walked through, in this case, James. They're going to walk verse by verse. They'll have James just marked up in their Bibles. We've done Ruth. We've done Philippians. We did another one that I can't think of. And now we're doing James. And they're going to know, this is how I study the Bible. So we even took some of our D groups and said, you know, this last time, you kind of go have a time alone with God, and then we'll come back together at the end. So they're practicing it here. So this is a time when they, in junior high, when they can start building some of those connections, and then we're equipping them for this is how you study the Scriptures. Now, we have a couple times we meet, and I put them at times of convenience since they're not driving for junior high. Wednesdays from 6 to 7, which is right before Extreme, so you can drop them off at 6, and we'll just keep until 8:30. How about that? Drop them off at 6. Homework, schmomework. Just give it to us. 6 to 7. And then we also have one that's going to be Sunday night after choir. And choir is, Karen's here, 5:30 to 6:30. And then after choir, they have some food and things like that. And then we'll be over in the loft. About 7, we start gathering, and then the choir kids come over, and it goes till about 8 o'clock. So those are the options. But we have a couple groups that meet in homes because I announced this last time. I had parents. I said, if you can't make those nights and need another night to meet, then just come tell me. And when you tell me, you're kind of offering your house too, because you're saying you're free. We need to know, we need a spot to meet. So we have some people that have offered their homes. And so we've got a couple that meet during the week. And here's the thing. In junior high, I have to keep it messy because I want to get them in, especially for something that's kind of new for them. I want to get them in. I want them to experience it. And then when they get up to high school, it's like, I don't know much, but I know I do D groups. Like, we want that to just be their rhythm and that just to be what they know as we do D groups. So I'm able, it's crazy, but I'm able to have it a little messier because of the long-term payoff, which is by the time, and I've only got two grades to manage, which makes it nice. By the time they get to high school, they're just going, there's kids now that have gone through our program that are getting to high school, and they're just going, when's D group sign up? Like, immediately, they're ready for that. So that's a little bit about our D groups in junior high.
High school D group locations are in your packet. We've got four locations, and they're mostly geographical, but we've got a location at the Warren's House in HP, or Park Cities. It's co-ed, and then we've got a co-ed group that meets in Addison. Then we've got an all-girls group that meets in the green room directly after choir, and then we've got an all-girls group that meets in Lake Highlands. D groups in high school, the target of our ministry, what we want to have accomplished in the life of a student, if we can get to the middle of our target is a replicating, transformed Christian. So not someone who gives mental assent to a proposition, not someone who just says something or believes something, but someone who not only believes it, but then goes and is replicating virally, because that's how the church is functioning in the New Testament. So in order to do that, we've kind of worked and tweaked on D groups the last few years. And at first, when we first started, it functioned more like a Bible study, which isn't exactly what we're going for. We're studying the Bible, but we'd have a bunch of kids come and they're listening to me teach and they're engaging in a different way, in a different level. But I had 30 seniors that first year that came with me and Bailey. Well, that's not really achieving what we want to have happen. What we want to have happen is we want these kids to come in to hear the gospel, to learn the Bible, to be grabbed by it, and then to pour it into other people. So in order to accomplish that, we tried a few different things, and some didn't work as well as others. But what we're doing now, we started this summer, and it's beginning to work well, is we have D-group facilitators. And what the facilitators are today at lunch, after Sunday school, there's going to be a group of kids that stay with me and eat. And they're kids that have come through our program, through D-groups over the last 2 years. And these kids are going to facilitate at different locations. So some of the parents, I know you're concerned with the fact that it's co-ed at the Warrens and it's co-ed at the Harpers. But here's how it really works, is the way it's going to work is you'd come in, and I lead at the Harpers, and Morgan Moore and Paul Jocelyn, our interns, lead it at the Warrens. And so you'd come in, and Morgan's teaching. She's going to go through the Bible passage, which you have the curriculum in here. We're going to look at Peter and the narrative of his life and then his epistles through the course of the semester. So she'll teach the scripture passage during that time, engaging them, asking them for feedback. We'll be shooting out messages on what the scripture is going to be, hoping that they prepare and digest before they get there. Then after they go through the background and kind of exegetical work of the scriptures, they're going to break into smaller gender-specific units, especially the ninth graders. And how that's going to work is these facilitators that are staying with me this afternoon, they're going to process the scripture with me. We're going to go through background. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask them who they've reached out to because they've already met with us and they've been given an initiative to go into the freshman classes and find the kids that go to school with them and say, hey, I would love for you to come to D group with me. I would love to walk with you over the course of this semester. And they're really pastoring them. And so they're not teaching the Bible in those locations, but what they're doing is they get their group of 3 to 5 freshmen together or underclassmen. They pull them off to the side and then they say, hey, what do we talk about? What's going on in your life? What are you struggling with? Because our three DNA components are transparent connections, right? Which is the ability to open up, to be able to have somebody in your life who you say, you know what? I'm really struggling with this. I'm really struggling with my girlfriend. I'm really struggling with this teacher. Will you help me? Will you pray for me? So creating a safe atmosphere in that unit where they can share with their friends. Then also interactive relationship with God. So making sure they're praying and reading their Bible. They're going to hold each other accountable at that level. And then global engagement, which is a missional lifestyle, impacting the community locally and globally for the kingdom of God, and teaching them that they can do that through their discipleship, through bringing those younger kids into community and creating social systems that are on mission for the gospel. So that's what we're really trying to accomplish in those. Now, your student can sign up on cards. We've had some of those, but they can also just show up. We've got the locations and addresses in here. They can just come And they just come, and we're going to partner them up with a friend group for the breakout. And that friend group is what we'll try to keep solidified. So that's what we're shooting for this semester. There's kind of different levels of it depending on the groups. There's a couple of groups where we don't have as many leaders as other groups, and some groups are bigger than other groups. But that's the basic DNOW type deal. And like I said, the curriculum, information, and locations are all in your high school packet.
All right. Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, D groups. Yes.
Time, thank you. The time will be 7 to 8:30 is kind of the standard time on them, except the choir group basically meets at 7, but it's whenever they get done eating after choir. They'll go with Valerie Van Hooten to the green room. And then the LH group is a group of girls that asked to form this group. We've had a little trouble getting synergy in LH because Young Life is so strong, which is awesome. And if they have groups in parachurch, then we totally encourage that. But there's a group of girls that wanted to have that, and their parents requested that it goes from 7 to 8. So that one will be from 7 to 8, so we'll end a little earlier. But all the others are 7 to 8. Sunday evenings.
Yes, ma'am. All guys D group available?
There isn't. There are breakouts at those locations, and some of them are more male-heavy than others. So what we're hoping is we bring everybody together for that teaching period, and then the guys group will be the group of guys that forms at that location and moves into a separate area of the house or outside.
And ours in junior high, unless we're doing a big group thing, we split them by gender just because they're junior high. So we keep it by gender.
Is this week the beginning of the semester? Did it start Wednesday night?
We had kind of an open for junior high.
Uh-huh.
We had kind of an open deal this Wednesday night, and again, we're going to be messy as we launch into it. So I'll help. We'll get in.
Okay. Is there a group tonight or
Sunday night? No, they're not tonight. I'm sorry. So this Wednesday night, what we did in junior high was kind of a introduction to James, and had a big deal down here. Threw out a bunch of commentaries. Said you guys go look up James and kind of get the context, and they created all that. And that was for anybody Wednesday or Sunday that wanted to do a D group. But if you didn't make that, don't worry about it. They can start next Wednesday night. And then we kind of start, like, week one for us is with that Wednesday night group. And then we have we have the Sunday night group. We've got a girls one that meets on Monday nights. We've got a boys one that meets on Tuesday nights. So, Bruce? Is the Suter home available? No.
For girls, if you want to do a Monday night, you have a daughter, come talk to me afterwards,
yeah.
And I can help you out with that.
Right now, we don't have a boys' one Monday night. But that's the thing is, if you're hearing this and going, those don't really work, come find me and we'll figure something out and get them going.
High school does start tonight.
As a clear. There we go.
High school does start tonight. And in your packet, you've got a series of dates in there. You also have some dates where we're going off campus on Wednesday nights for crosswalk and those kind of things. So there's a couple of dates where we're not meeting on Sunday evening for D group that are listed in your calendar.
All right, some quick big events. So you've got Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and then D groups. Some big events. We've got DNOW weekend coming up January 20th through 22nd. January 20th through 22nd. I don't know if it's on there. It's on the bottom of your little daily bobber here with junior high. DNOW 20th through 22nd, and the camp this year is not going to be on the 4th. We've locked in our dates at June 28th through July 3rd. June 28th through July 3rd. Honestly, I don't even know if that's up on our website yet. It will be up very soon here. Here's the thing about our big events. What happens a lot of times is first of all, I hear parents trust their kids a lot. When a kid goes, well, none of my friends are going, and it really might be like, I heard two of my friends talking about maybe not going, and they're like, well, none of my friends are going, because really, you know, it's terrifying if they get there and go, I know nobody. It can be a difficult thing for them. I'll tell you this, with DNOW and camp especially, and even with Mission Trip as well, once they get there, once we rip people out of their Dallas-ness, you know, and we go, come on, we're going to Giddings, Texas down here, yeehaw, right? And you're in this group now, you've got just about 10 other boys about your age. We can put them in cabins smartly. We can let leaders know, hey, this kid is kind of, you know, he's kind of feeling a little disconnected, was hesitant about coming, and they'll go up and just, you know, make them feel unbelievably welcome. One of us will go personally by their cabins and just make a note, okay, we've got, this year I had a list of about 6 kids that I just knew. I want to be sure I see them regularly and just see how their week's going. End of the week, they're like, why are you bothering me, man? This is great. I feel like I'm a part of the group. But what happens is there's this group here, the youth ministry, and then say your kid is kind of going, I don't really feel like I fit in to this group. And then so camp comes and they go, well, I'm not really going to go to camp because I don't really feel a connect. And so everybody goes off and has this shared experience of camp or disciple now or mission trip or whatever it is. And all it is, it becomes this downward spiral where they start going, well, I really feel disconnected now because they all went and did this stuff and they have these inside jokes and these cabin things and these commercials and all these kinds of things. And it just becomes this, they just pull away, and then they feel even sillier, like, well, now I'll go to camp, and I haven't been in 3 years. So it's a difficult thing. So what I'd say is, God love you. For some of you, this is easy. For some of you, this is difficult, and you're going to think I'm naive and crazy. I would very much encourage you to put these dates on your calendar and just make them non-negotiable with your kids. Because I'll tell you, we have very rarely kids come to camp and or Dean out and just not have an unbelievable experience. So I'd encourage you to make these just non-negotiables on your calendar. And then Aaron, if you want to come up, do you have anything to add about mission trip from this summer?
We're going to have them.
We're going to have mission trip.
Be good. We're in conversations with the missions department, and we go to South Texas and Guatemala each year, and we will be going back to South Texas for sure. Guatemala got canceled this year because some political instability in the country, so we're looking at that. But what's great about mission trip is really the same thing that Jim was saying about camp, except you get an even more individualized experience with staff because the groups are small. You know, so in Guatemala, it's me and 15 kids, so they'll really get to know me well, you know. And that's a huge benefit to the mission trips. And in South Texas, it's a lot bigger group, but it's still not that big, and you're working together, and you're sweating together, and there's something about doing that that really bonds the students in a strong way. And so I just encourage you to participate. We'll get those dates to you as soon as we get the details ironed out with the missions department. Tentatively, South Texas will probably be the week after VBS, but we got to clear that with the rest of the church calendar and make sure we're not impinging on anyone else. So we'll get those out as soon as we can.
And this is, many of you know, but this is Erin Edwards. She is our wonderful girls minister, and she's going to share some girls ministry stuff. And then we'll take any questions that you guys might have.
It's nice to get to be over here with you. I was with your students and ran in heels, so it was fun. But my heart in working with girls is I really want to partner with you in helping your girls, your daughters, see what it means to be a woman of God. And so I feel like in our church, especially in with the way the world is today, it's very easy for them to never talk to anyone beyond their friend set, beyond their age. And so we try to do many things. We do in the summer, we have a birthday party for the widows and widowers in our church. And it's just a time for the girls to get to serve, but also sit down and just glean wisdom. When you look at Titus and what it's talking about with the church is, it's these younger women looking up to the older women and the older women pouring into them. So that is one of my big hearts for our girls, is I so want them to know what it really means to be a woman of God, to find their identity in Christ, not like media tells them. So another thing that we're doing, and this is a tentative date, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you, December 2nd and 3rd, we're going to do a girls retreat. I'm calling it a Christmas staycation because we're going to stay here, and it cuts back on cost, but I'm bringing in a phenomenal speaker she was actually in the modeling industry. And God just really revolutionized her life and her heart to show her that it's not the outward, it's the inward and what God can really do. And then the really neat thing from that is that on the 3rd, we're going to have our mother-daughter Christmas brunch. I don't know if any of you got to come last year, but it was one of my highlights. And so the same speaker that spoke to your daughters the night before and just poured into them is actually going to be the one who shares with you the next day so that we can have hopefully extended conversations for you with your daughter about what does this mean to be a woman of God? What does it mean to put my identity in Christ? So that's the big date for this semester. But honestly, discipleship through D groups, everything like that, that is my heartbeat. I love your daughters. I love this ministry. So any questions after this or even now, feel free and I can answer those. So.
Now I'd like to just open it up. If anyone has any questions or needs clarification, we just wanted to have a few minutes for you guys to be able to clarify anything that you needed on.
Next Sunday, then, the D group will start. Will y'all email us information or how?
High school or junior high?
Junior high.
Junior high, I'm getting your emails, and you'll have... what's happening over there right now is they're putting up a list of all the people who signed up for Wednesday, Sunday, all that, and then our interns are going to call them all. But we also have we have an email list that we're getting your email. But yeah, Sunday, 7 o'clock, if you have them over there, we'll, okay, in the loft.
We'll be in the loft, and you'll get that information off of each one.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. I saw that hesitation.
Is Christmas staycation, is that for junior high, high school, or both?
It's both. It's 7th through 12th grade. I found, as much as the girls sometimes say they don't want to hang out with the younger girls or the older girls, one of my highlights, we did a girls' lock-in, and we had a dance party for 2 hours in here. 7th through 12th grade, just being silly, and it's like 12 o'clock at night. But, I mean, it was so much fun, and they now, I watch those girls actually go up and talk to the 11th graders, which I watched it this morning. It was really neat because we had them all together, and some of my 7th and 8th graders from last year that would have never gone up to talk to anyone because they came to the lock-in went up and talked to an 11th or 12th grader. So, yes, it's 7th through 12th.
Awesome. Anybody else? Last chance.
All right, real fast, I just kind of want to reiterate what Jim said earlier and just kind of share our hearts with you by telling you a story, because that's what I do. A couple weeks ago, I went to New York, and I got to see the impact that 9/11 had on everyone there. It was in every part of their life. It's changed who they are. It's changed the identity of those people. And it really hit me, because for us here, it kind of changed how we fly. Or maybe we knew someone who knew someone who knew someone who knew someone. But after a couple of days, it didn't really impact my life as much. Except for I remember I turned 17 3 days later and I could go give blood. Which I also just let you know how young I am. But but my birthday's next week. So as I was talking about this and looking at this, and I'm reading through James because that's what we're going to do with our students. And it just really hit me. A lot of us and a lot of our students, what happens is God becomes a part of their life. So maybe it affects them for a moment. It affects them at the camp. It affects them at D now. And they have this feeling, this one little moment. But then they just go back to their life. It's not really changed anything. And that is what we do not want to happen for your students. More than anything, when I was talking to these people from New York, I had this woman tell me they wear tennis shoes everywhere. And they keep their heels in their purse because they're afraid if something happens, they need to be able to run. Like, it's changed the way they think through everything. And when it comes to a relationship with God, we want it to change the way they think through everything. We want this to be something that when they go to school, it's not a second thought or maybe I have to. It's the verse in Acts where it talks about, I can't help but share this. You know, that is what we want for our students more than anything. That's why we do this. I was reading through 1 Timothy this morning and looking at in chapter 4 when it's talking about, this is what propels us. This is why we teach this. Not because of youth for them to be looked down, but to set an example in life and in their purity and in their speech and all of these things. And that's what we want for your students. So it's not just information transfer, but it's a life transformed that goes out. So when they go off to college, they don't flounder, but they find a new stability for their faith and they reach out to those around them that don't know them. Because I just watch, and how many of you are here? All of you represent at least one student in our ministry, one child that can go and not just sit on a Sunday, but go and revolutionize their campuses and their sports teams and their friends and their families. And that excites me. Like, that's why we do this. Because we want your students to run into Jesus and fall so in love with him that they can't help but change everything else. So that is our prayer. That's why we do what we do. We will answer any questions you have afterwards, because that is what we want for each and every one of your sons and daughters. So thank you so much for being here this morning. Let me pray for us, and then we'll be out here. Father God, Lord, I thank you for these parents. Lord, I thank you for their students. Lord, I pray that, God, that it's such a life-changing thing for them as they come and run into you, Lord. Thank you that you're big enough to handle any problem that faces these students. Lord, I pray that you become real and just an integral part of everything that they do. Lord, may it not just be information transfer. May it not just be a time of hangout, Lord, but a time that completely changes the way they look at everything. Lord, we love you. Thank you that you love these students so much more than we do. And God, that is comforting and amazing to me all at the same time, that you love us so much more than we can fathom. God, I pray that for these students, Lord, as they go places I can never go, can they be lights for you, Lord? I pray that for them. I pray for the relationships with their parents, Lord, that they are able together to share you to those around them. Lord, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Y'all have a great day.
Yeah.